Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here this morning. I wanted to begin this morning by putting a little plug in for small groups. Small groups is something that you can still sign up for, be a part of. For Annette and I, it's been a really great way to plug in, be more connected to the community. And even just this week, what we've been talking about ties really well into my sermon this morning. On Tuesday, our small group was, we've been going through the farewell discourse, Jesus' last words to his disciples on the earth. And in John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus prays for all believers to be one as he is one with the Father. And in our small group, we were talking about what are the things that keep us from being one as a body of believers, what Jesus is desiring. What are the things that really cause division or challenge unity in the church? And this morning, I'm going to be preaching on one of those subjects, one of those things. I found a really fun word, increased my vocabulary, fun word for a person who partakes of this particular sin. This is the sin of the flibbertigist. So flibbertigists have been around for as long as humans have been alive. In 1998, in Indonesia, flibbertigists caused a lot of talk about sorcerers to spread throughout the country, and there actually began to be riots and protests about these sorcerers. They were saying that the sorcerers were causing people to die, to become sick, to be kidnapped, and so as a result, some of the local authorities got a mandate that they were supposed to bring in suspected sorcerers and move them to a safe location. And as a result of this, people saw anyone going to a police station as an admittance of guilt of being a sorcerer, and many people were killed. Similarly, in America, in 1692, I know a long time ago, in Salem, Massachusetts, flibbertigists caused panic about witches and witchcraft, and as a result, 20 people were executed as being witches, and many more were imprisoned. Technology has not helped us out any. Flibbertigists have only learned how to use technology to get the word out more about whatever they want to. On April 23rd, 2013, a fake tweet from a hacked Associated Press account claimed that explosions at the White House had injured Barack Obama. This lone tweet caused instability on the world financial markets, and the Standard & Poor's 500 index lost $130 billion in just a short time. Even more recently, in 2020, Liberty just spread the rumor that 5G towers were what was really causing COVID-19, or at least the symptoms of it from 5G radiation. And so as a result, people went out and they did their due diligence of destroying and damaging 5G towers. Yes, when I say flibberty, just I'm talking about gossips. WebMD says that gossip and rumors have a negative effect on us, such as causing exhaustion, anxiety, and depression. What's more, gossip can escalate to physical violence when it's not addressed. It can also cause long-term physical mental health issues, including clinical depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, panic attacks, guilt, and suicide. Well, what is gossip? The Hebrew word translated gossip in the Old Testament is defined as one who reveals secrets, one who goes about as a talebearer or a scandal monger. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. Webster says it's a casual or unconstrained conversation or report about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. So why is gossip something that's so enticing? I think all of us understand gossip is wrong. We know it's wrong. We have lots of life examples of bad things that have come about from gossip, but yet all of us at one point or another have still gossiped and struggled with it. Proverbs 18:8 says that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. See, we like gossip because it's like our favorite candy. It's something that it's sweet. We enjoy it. it gives us that instant gratification, and it goes down to the inmost parts and forever changes the way that we view people, we view others. I think it's important for us to identify all the ways that gossip entices us. So this morning I want to spend some time to talk about just a few of the ways that I've thought about that gossip is enticing, that it draws us in. The first is that we gossip because it's entertaining. It can be fun for us to tell stories or hear stories about other people's epic fails, their misadventures, their mistakes, their failures, their flaws. It's something that we enjoy sharing and we enjoy hearing about. We also gossip because it can be something that's socially bonding. Maybe there's a lull in the conversation. We don't really know what to talk about, and so we naturally go into sharing some wild and crazy story. We can also feel like we're part of the clique, like we're more connected to a specific group, because within our group, we know these secrets or these things that people outside of the group don't know. But in so doing, we cause division. We gossip for power and control. Gossip can be a way that we control the narrative of our lives. When we gossip, we can make ourselves look better in the story while we make other people look worse. We put the mistakes and failures of whatever happened on the other people involved, not ourselves. And in the same way, we gossip for validation and self-esteem. When we don't feel very good about ourselves, it can be nice to hear about the mistakes that other people have made, the ways that they failed worse than us, or maybe they've done the exact same thing as us, and so it takes pressure off of us. We feel validated in hearing or sharing gossip. We gossip to express frustration. We're frustrated with our coworkers, with our family, with our friends, people in our lives, and so we like to vent our concerns, our complaints about what other people are doing. And we also gossip because of curiosity and our desire for more information. We tell ourselves that we need to have all of the information to make the best choice, the wisest decisions, but we don't always care if that information is true or not. We just want to hear all of the different little tidbits and things that people have to say. Candy, we know too much of it. It rots our teeth. It can give us a stomach ache. But the truth is that gossip, the sweet morsel of gossip, is much worse than candy for us. Romans 1:29 through 32 tells us this. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, of evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. See, Paul tells us here that gossip is wickedness deserving of death. And we know all sin is deserving of death. But I think sometimes with gossip, we say, well, is what I'm doing really that bad? Like, it's not. You know, I only twisted one or two little facts. I only changed a little bit to make myself sound better or to make the story exciting. It's not really hurting anybody what I'm doing. In fact, I'm connecting to people by sharing this story with them. But the truth is that gossip always hurts at least three people. First, gossip hurts the person that it's spoken about. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer, some versions say a gossip, separates intimate friends. See, gossip divides us. The person that gossip is being spoken about is not viewed the same by the people that are hearing the gossip. Oftentimes, they're viewed in a worse light. They're viewed negatively. And when a person hears that gossip has been shared about them, or information that they didn't intend to be shared has been shared, they can feel alienated, disconnected from the people around them. No longer do they know who they can trust. It can feel like, I can't share anything that's important in my life anymore. And so then they become isolated and lonely. Gossip hurts the listener. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Again, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. See, what you permit, you promote. What you allow people to say to you, around you, you're actually promoting. In the Romans verse that I read at the very end, Paul says that the wicked, they not only practice evil and wickedness, but they approve of others who do the same. In Proverbs 18, it says that gossip, it's that sweet morsel, it goes down to the inmost part. When it's talking about going down the inmost part, it's saying it's something that sticks with you. It changes the way that you view the world and people around you. So if you're surrounded by gossips, you're constantly allowing people to share this gossip where you're seeking it out in yourself. What you're doing is you're allowing yourself to have a negative view of the world, to have a negative view of the people in your life around you. And further, division is being spread. Just because we're all guilty of gossip doesn't that mean that we need to be okay with it or permit it in our lives. And lastly, gossip hurts the speaker. Proverbs 25, 9 through 10 says, argue your case with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. You see, when you choose to share gossip, people begin to see you as a gossiper. You become known as a flibbertigist. And that's not a good thing, because then people feel like they have to walk on eggshells around you, because they know that whatever they say around you is going to be taken out of context and is going to be shared to other people. And so then you're going to find that you don't have as many close friends. People aren't sharing any intimate secrets with you, any important life details, because they're afraid that you're going to misrepresent them to other people. The truth is that for as long as the church has been around, gossip has been causing division in the church. I would hazard to guess that almost all church splits had a lot of gossip fueling the flame of division before the split ever happened. Christ died to take away our failures, our flaws, our mistakes, and our sins. He died to unshackle us, to free us from sin. But when we gossip about other people, when we talk about other people's failures, their flaws, and their mistakes, it's as though we're trying to shackle them. It's as though we're denying the fact that Christ died to give these people freedom. And at the same time, it's as though we are acting as if we're not really free, because we're acting out of our own insecurities, our own problems, our own failures. And our reputation no longer becomes that of a Christian or a Christ follower. It becomes that of a gossip or a flibbertigist. And people don't respect us or want to listen to what we have to say. So when we try to share the gospel with them, they're probably not going to listen to it. It's time as a church that we start combating gossip in our own lives. And I know it's hard. Gossip is something that I struggle with because it's a hard process. It's tedious to determine what stories are gossip, what things are okay to share with people, and what things are not meant to be shared, what things are secret, what things are hurtful. There's a story about Socrates, and I promise this does not fall under gossip. He had an acquaintance who came to talk to him one day about juicy gossip on another acquaintance of theirs. And before he allowed his friend to share the gossip, Socrates said, first you need to pass my triple filter test. He said, the first filter is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you're about to share with me is true? And the man shook his head. He said, no, actually, I just heard about it. And Socrates cut him off. He said, okay, so you don't know for certain that it is true. Then is what you're about to say good or kind? Again, the man shook his head. No, actually, just the opposite, you see. And Socrates lifted his hand. He stopped the man from speaking, and he said, so you're not certain that what you want to say is true, and it isn't good or kind. One filter still remains, that you may still tell me, is this information useful or necessary to me? A little defeated, the man said, "No, not really." "Well then," Socrates said, turning on his heels, "if what you want to say is neither true nor good or kind or useful or necessary, please don't say anything at all." There's an easy way to remember Socrates' filter test. This is something that is actually pretty common, popular. I've seen it in schools before. It's the acronym THINK. The idea is to think before you speak. And each letter stands for something that's similar to Socrates' filter test. The T stands for, is it true? The H is it helpful? The I, is it inspiring? The N, is it necessary? And the K, is it kind? So before you're about to share a story that you're not sure if it's going to be gossip or not, see if it passes that filter test. We need to remember that everything we say should be true, but not everything that's true needs to be said or shared. Maybe you don't feel like gossip is something that you really struggle with in your life, but the question is, do you have people in your life who are gossips, who share information with you that you know you weren't supposed to hear? Are you bold like Socrates when people do this? Do you stand up to them? Do you ask them, is this something that you should really be sharing with me right now? Have you ever asked somebody the question, why are you sharing this with me? It might seem blunt, but we need to remember that what we permit, we promote. And chances are, this is something that a teacher once said when I was in high school, and it stuck with me ever since. A student was trying to tell her about some embarrassing or terrible thing that another teacher had done, and she cut him off, and she said, I don't want to hear what you're about to share with me, because I know that if you're sharing this information about another teacher to me, you're probably saying bad things about me to another person. When people are sharing those things with us, we need to remember they're also probably doing the same about us to other people, which can be in a way to motivate us to shut it down, to stop it, so that it doesn't go to our inmost parts and change us. When somebody comes to us trying to vent about their frustrations, their complaints, their angers about someone else, we can ask them the simple question, have you talked with this person yet about it? Redirect them to the person of their frustrations. Or we can say things like, I don't want to have my view of this person negatively impacted by what you're about to say. The truth is that when we stop people from gossiping to us, it probably is going to be awkward. I'm not saying that it's not going to be awkward. I can say from my own life, there have only been a few times where I've really stopped somebody from gossiping to me about something. And I felt weird about it. I really did. Because I know that I struggle with gossip. I struggle with complaining about people sharing things. Even Annette, I've embarrassed her before by sharing things that she didn't mean for me to share. And I didn't think about it. I didn't know it. And so stopping people, it feels a little bit hypocritical. But the truth is that I know that I am saving them from doing something that is being deserving of death. And that little bit of awkwardness is worth it. It's worth it for keeping myself from viewing somebody else in a negative light. And to be quite honest, I wish that I would do that more in my life. Because there's a lot of people who my perception has forever been changed of them, not because of what I've seen them do, but because of what somebody unnecessarily has shared with me about what they've done. And when I'm about to share gossip, it can be helpful to remember Proverbs 21:23 that says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. If we really practice applying the acronym THINK, and going through the work of thinking more before we're sharing with other people, we can save ourselves from embarrassment and calamity. We need to remember the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. As I've been talking to you guys this morning about stopping gossip, I'm afraid that you've heard me say something that I have not been saying. And this is always a danger when talking about sin. What I'm afraid that you're hearing me say is that we need to stop gossip to be a Christian. We need to stop gossip in order to not be deserving of death anymore. The truth is that Christ died on the cross because he knows that we're sinners. He died to forgive us. We don't need to stop gossip because by stopping it, we won't be deserving of death anymore. We need to stop gossip in our lives because not only did Christ die to give us forgiveness, but he died in hopes to bring us freedom, freedom from our chains. He loves us as a sinner and forgives us as a sinner where we're at, as gossips, as people who make mistakes and have failures and flaws. But he offers this freedom from our failures, our flaws, and our chains. And he asks us to walk out of that sin, to walk out of gossip and into unity in his body of believers. Change is hard. Thinking about what you share before you share it can be a really tedious thing. It can seem tedious and overwhelming for us. And again, keeping other people from gossiping can seem overwhelming because of the potentially awkward situations that will arise because of it. But like working out, the more we do it, the easier it becomes for us. The less we'll find ourselves slipping up and sharing things that we shouldn't. The less we'll find ourselves in conversations where people are sharing things that we didn't really want to hear in the first place. And Christ set an example for us in putting in the hard work. He never sinned. He had all sorts of opportunities. I'm sure of anybody on the earth, Jesus probably knew the most gossip. But he never partook in it. He shut it down. And ultimately, he died on the cross to set an example for us to put in the hard work, to bring unity. And the Bible promises us that in the end, it's going to be worth it. So as a church, let's say no to that sweet candy. And let's begin starting to be more unified with each other, encouraging one another, sharing the uplifting things that we see in our life, the good in the world around us, sharing the gospel message with people rather than sharing gossip, so that we can be one just as Jesus and the Father are one. Would you please pray with me? God, we thank you for being a God who loves us, a God who loves us as weak and broken as we are. God, I ask that you help us to identify the gossip in our lives, the ways that we allow it to affect us, and God, help us to give it over to you. God, help us to find freedom in your Son from our own gossip and the gossip of those around us. Help us to not seek it out, but instead to seek you out, to seek your truth, to share your truth, and to share your love. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.